Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, it's time for the Wednesday edition of the Daily 10. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. We are Atlanta's only podcast that gives you, the local fan, everything you care about every single day. We will get to a spicy hot take on the Falcons, some more on Georgia's early dominance. But I want to start with the Braves. And let me first say, this late night West Coast baseball, it's killing me. If you have kids, you wake up early. This stuff is rough. I know these are first world problems. But at least if you're going to stay up late, it helps when the Braves win. The Braves' magic number is now 10. It's a perfect 10 after they beat the Diamondbacks 6-1 last night to lower that magic number once again. It could have gone down even more. The Phillies saved themselves last night against Baltimore. They won 3-2 in 10 innings. The Braves were an out away, potentially, from Baltimore, helping the Braves one more time. But Phillies came off the deck and won. But it doesn't matter what they do as long as the Braves keep winning. So the Braves' lead in the East is 3 games, 4 in the loss column. Good news again for the Braves is the offense got off to a quick start, and it was all about the home run ball. Austin Riley hit his 30th home run of the season to give the Braves a 2-0 lead in the first. Ozzie Albies hit his 29th home run, which was a 2-run shot in the third, give the Braves some more cushion at 4-0. And then Jorge Soler went oppo in the fifth for the Braves' 5-1 lead at that point. As important as all that was, and I'm glad to see the home run ball a part of things for the Braves, that's their best offense. It was just as important to see Dansby Swanson go 2-for-4 last night with an RBI. Dansby has been fighting it. He has been struggling for a while. So it was good to see that, and hopefully that continues leading up to the postseason. Braves' bullpen also did a good job because it was a bullpen game. Jesse Chavez got the start, went 1 1/3. Scoreless innings, just gave up 2 walks, nothing else. Drew Smyly pitched 3 1/3, allowed 4 hits and a run, no walks and 4 Ks, so that was mostly good. Jacob Webb, very quietly, has kind of really found a groove here. He pitched 1 1/3 of scoreless ball with a hit and a walk. Tyler Matzek, a perfect inning. Things got a little hairy for Luke Jackson in the 8th when he gave up a hit, couple of walks to load the bases to bring up the tying run, but he got a fly out to take any more drama away. And then A.J. Minter pitched a scoreless 9th for the Braves' win. As I said, now magic number at 10, lead in the East 3-4 in the loss column. And tonight it's Ian Anderson against Merrill Kelly at 9:40. The hope is for the Braves that they can get something productive out of Ian, because they're looking for one of those guys, Ian or Waskari Noah, to take the third starter job and run with it. Just 12 games left in the Braves' season. 2 more in Arizona, 3 in San Diego, and don't look now, the Padres have completely fallen apart. They have been awful lately. San Diego's 3-10 in their last 13 games, and they're pretty much buried in the wild card race. So for all the money they spent and all their moves, it's not going to amount to anything. The reason I bring it up is maybe the Braves are getting them at a good time with the 3 in San Diego and the conclusion of the suspended game from back in July. Then the Braves will come home, host the Phillies for that 3-game series, and close out the regular season with the Mets. And we all hope the makeup game with Colorado is not necessary. We are brought to you by the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. I brag on the great folks over there because I love the food. I love the atmosphere. I love a sports bar that has, let's say, not a sports bar type of a menu. And you get all the best of that with the Daily Draft. Downtown Woodstock on Main Street. They've got a walk-up window for you to order drinks before you walk through the door. When you do walk through the doors, you'll see wall-to-wall flat screens, self-serve taps, which are awesome, craft beer bar, billiards, darts, and that chef-inspired menu that has anything and everything that you, your buddies for watching game days, and the family will enjoy. In fact, when you have lunch at the Daily Draft, if you mention my podcast, The Daily 10, they will take 10% off your lunch order. Mention The Daily 10 for 10% off at the Daily Draft. To find out more about the menu and all the things they've got going on, go to thedailydraft.net. Check them out online there. Ask about the tailgate box, the game day platter. They will set you up. All right, let's move on to the football. The Falcons are 3-point favorites against the Giants this Sunday at 1. This one is one of those games where you see 2-0-2 teams just trying to avoid burying themselves. It's interesting. The Braves and the Giants, or the Braves, the Falcons and the Giants haven't played that much in their history. They've only met 25 times, with the Falcons holding a 13-12 advantage. They've played 12 times since the year 2000, and the teams have split the series 6-6. And there have been some weird one-sided games along the way. Who could ever forget the Giants beating the Falcons 24-2 in the playoffs back in 2011? Or the Falcons repaying the favor with a 34-0 whitewashing over the Giants in the regular season in 2012. So all that's in the past, and it doesn't really mean much. I said yesterday I'm tired of the Falcons being the national punchline. Well, I did find one national hot taker who says the Falcons are not a joke. And this just proves some of these national hot take guys are better at the hot take business than I am. Nick Wright from FS1 was asked which of the 0-2 teams had the best chance to turn things around. He said not only will the Falcons turn things around, they'll win their next three games, but he took it a step further. He said the Falcons will be 5-3 headed to the Dallas game coming up in week number 10. He also said write it in blood. Again, that right there, that's a scorching hot take. Write it in blood that that's going to happen. He guaranteed that's where the Falcons are going to be, and he went over some of the things I've talked about, because I told you before the Tampa game. I said the Falcons will lose at Tampa, but they would then win two of their next three after the Bucs because the level of competition and because the quarterbacks they're going to play. And that starts this week with Daniel Jones and the Giants. Then a home game with Washington and Taylor Heineke. The game in London against Zach Wilson and the Jets before the bye. So mine had a little bit of like trepidation because, well, I know it's the Falcons. So I said they'll win two of three. This Nick Wright, he's like Skip Bayless or he's like Stephen A. They're just better at the hot take game than me. That's why they're doing what they're doing. And I love this podcast. Don't get me wrong. But the confidence that he said it with, like, it doesn't matter because you miss a hot take. You know, we mock you, we play the audio and make fun of you, and then you go cash a check 2 weeks later. If you get the hot take right, you take your victory lap and we move on. But I would never, ever be that confident, first of all, in the Falcons in general, but this team, based on what they have defensively, based on some of the mistake-prone football they've played, to ever tell you they'll win all three of these next three, although winnable, I wouldn't go that far. And to say 5-3 going to the Dallas game, I hope Nick Wright is 100% right, and he can take a big victory lap. In fact, he says the Falcons are still going to the playoffs. That's how hot and scorching his take was. It starts this week. I think they have a great chance to beat the Giants, but trust me, in New York, they're saying the same thing about the Falcons. They think they have a great chance because the Falcons have all the flaws that we've talked about. Again, Falcons are a 3-point underdog in the game. 1 o'clock kick on Sunday from MetLife Stadium. And finally, let's get to Georgia, who is a now 35.5-point favorite. That line just keeps going up against Vanderbilt. Coming up Saturday at noon in Nash Vegas. I think we kind of have a sense, right, if you know, you're 25, 35, 45 years old, of how dominant this series has been, how one-sided for Georgia. Georgia's now won 40 of the last 45 games against the Commodores. In fact, if you go pinpoint, like, you could probably remember, if you're a Georgia fan, the games that you've lost to Vandy, just because it happens so infrequently and there's such a weirdness about the games. Go back to 1991. Ray Goff lost to Vanderbilt. Georgia lost 27-25. Goff also lost to Vandy in 1994. They lost 43-30. Georgia didn't lose again until 2006 against Vandy, when Mark Richt's team lost 24-22. And then Richt lost again to Vanderbilt in 2013. 31-27. The last time it happened, Vandy won 17-16. If I remember, there was a fourth down in that game where Georgia, on a 4th-and-1, ran some weird play instead of giving the ball to Nick Chubb, if memory serves. I don't remember the exact context of it, but those are the five losses. 40 of the last 45 games played between Georgia and Vandy have been pretty one-sided, and we would all expect this one to be the same. The other thing is, whenever Georgia goes to Nashville, there usually is a pretty large contingent of Georgia fans, A, because that's just a fun city. It's a great road trip. I wonder if that's going to be mitigated a little because it's a noon start, so you don't get that full tailgate day. A couple of years ago, Georgia played at Vandy, and it was a 7 o'clock start, so you had the full day of tailgating, getting in early the day before, enjoying Nashville, the nightlife, all that stuff. So I wonder if that's the only thing that sort of kills it, the early start, so you don't get the morning, you know, wake-up call where you want to go tailgate 5-6 hours early. That's usually on the menu for a lot of people. After this, though, things kind of ramp up a little for Georgia. Things might get a little interesting if Arkansas is maybe better than advertised, because Georgia will see Arkansas coming up at a noon start at home the following week. Then it's off to Auburn in a couple of weeks, and then Georgia will host Kentucky for their next three games. So we'll see if they handle business, and they should, against Vandy before the schedule kind of ticks up. All right, if you guys would, hit the subscribe button or follow this podcast wherever it is you get your favorite pods, and it'll be waiting for you each and every morning. If you would, leave us a rating or review. We would appreciate all the above. If you would, patronize my friends at The Daily Draft, a great local sports bar, downtown Woodstock on Main Street. Mention my podcast, The Daily 10. They'll take 10% off your lunch order. I'm on the radio this afternoon on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Back again here tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.